the NHL Draft on WGR. Who will the Sabres select?
On behalf of the Buffalo Sabres, proud to select.
Hear it live on the home of the Sabres.
And now, with all the coverage of the NHL Draft, here's your hosts, Brian Koziel and Brayton Wilson.
Hour two of the draft, pick seven up on the board, and it's Adam Sandler right now introducing Boston's pick.
Now we missed it. It's James Higgins.
Elite playmaker.
Higgins going to the Bruins from BC. No surprise there. Brayton, I know I said to you before the break, if he fell, you'd be ecstatic here. And Boston.
That's okay.
If Boston was going to know about this guy, no surprise coming from BC.
Yeah. No, I mean, he should have been watching him a lot in their backyard.
Yeah.
Just being able to pay attention. James Higgins was one of my favorite players in this entire prospect group. The knock on him, though, of course, he's 5'11", 186 pounds, and that might be with him soaking wet at this point. But the thing about James Higgins is he's such a skilled playmaker. He's the type of player that has like the eyes in the back of his head. He's very cerebral. He knows kind of where everything is developing on the ice. Going into the year, he was projected over Matthew Schaefer to be the top prospect in this class. And I think he got off to a slow start at Boston College this past year. I think that it took him a little bit to get adjusted from going from the U.S. National Development Team to college hockey, which is night and day in terms of the type of competition you're playing against. But he eventually got there. He eventually was playing really well. Some people might want to say that he was the product of playing with Ryan Leonard and Gabriel Perreault, which are two former first-round picks in this draft. In the NHL draft, and I think he still performed very admirably. He's just a really smart, cerebral player, passes the puck very well, and I feel like, you know, the Bruins got one of the bigger steals in this draft because he's the type of player that can develop into a number one center in the NHL, despite his size.
Yeah. Okay, so Higgins, we were thinking, yes, that would be incredible if he falls to Buffalo. Does not. So there's only one other name that's going to go here, Brayton, because Seattle's on the clock.
Yep.
Then it's Buffalo. So do you have two names? I'll take, now that Higgins up, do you have two names you'd be happy with?
Sure,
It was called for the Sabres.
So I will stick with Radim Mirka, who I had going in my mock draft 8 overall to Seattle. I think Seattle needs defensive help for their prospects. And Radim Mirka obviously is a right shot defenseman, so that's a very attractive, sexy prospect available for any team in the NHL because the plethora of right shot defensemen is always necessary for teams. Radim Mirka, and then after that, I guess I'll go Roger McQueen. Roger McQueen is a 6'5" center down the middle, and just a very intriguing prospect. The only thing that a lot of teams maybe have questions with is his back, whether or not, you know, a back injury that's lingered from last season into this season is going to continue to linger with him through the rest of his career, because it was similar to what happened with Caden Lindstrom with the Columbus Blue Jackets last year. They drafted him despite a back injury that kept him out for the last part of last season. Mm-hmm. And then this year he barely played at all because of that injury. So that's a concern. I'll throw one more name out there. Jake O'Brien. Jake O'Brien's a really good playmaker down the middle. You know, I had him going to Boston at 7th, but again, the way that things play out, you never know. So I'll throw those three names out there.
All right. So that's what we've got at the moment. But yeah, one pick away here from the Sabres being on the clock with Seattle up there as of this moment. Okay. So that's where we stand. Again, remember, the draft is being held in Los Angeles. That's where the commissioner is. That's where they're tying in with celebrities from each of these teams. And Seattle now 3 minutes and under as their clock starts and gets underway and running. The Goo Goo Dolls will be the ones introducing the Sabres selection as well here, as that'll be coming up here in just a little bit. But Brayton, in general, from your years of studying and dissecting these drafts, pick 9, regardless of who it ends up being, how often does, in your opinion, pick 9 actually see the NHL ice in year one?
I mean, rarely.
Would we say it's
rarely
like 10% or less, maybe?
Less.
Or even less than that?
Yeah, less than that, probably. I mean, you're still going to get a decent prospect with that 9th overall pick, and it's no different with this class. I think there's still a decent group of players that are in that top tier. I was telling Mike and Chris earlier today, your top two players are Schaefer and Misa, 1-2. Then from there, between like 3 and I'd say 10 is the next tier, and then 11 through like 21, 22 is the next tier. And then after that, it's kind of a hodgepodge. You kind of just, you can expect anything to happen between 22 and like 50. So, yeah, I mean, the Sabres are in a spot where they're still going to land a pretty decent prospect with the ninth overall pick. Who that might be at this point, I'm not entirely sure. There's names out there that I can see them going to get. I can see them making a selection, that type of selection. It's just it will be a bit before that prospect comes into play and you know, for NHL. And like we know with this team over the years, they've liked to rush their prospects a little bit sooner than others. So at this point, if they make that pick, I am more than comfortable with them taking somebody that will take the time to develop. And if they're ready to make that jump, then fine. But no need to rush anything. Just get a good player, get a player that can help them out in the long term. And if it takes them 2-3 years to develop and develop properly, I think that's the big thing too. They need to develop properly, then I'm fine.
Yeah. And, you know, at this point, position wise, Braden, I mean, we always sit here and say, like, is it more important of need? But this is not, you can't look at like what it is in the NFL where the players is going to have an immediate impact. You obviously just described the chances of pick 9, regardless of player or position, likely not going to see the NHL ice next season. So it's not like you can say, well, hey, we need someone here to take the spot of Paterka. Like, that's, at this moment, that's not what this pick is about. So, and that's kind of what is different when you're drafting 18-year-olds than when you're drafting guys that are maybe juniors and seniors playing college football who are going to immediately step on the field and maybe could be a starter with the Bills right away.
Yeah, I mean, I just, it's so disappointing too sometimes, just because, you know, depending on, because over the years, the Sabres have drafted quite well. So many people have talked about how well they've drafted. They've picked up this guy. They've picked up that guy.
Yeah.
And the thing looking back now is, it's just like, yeah, they got pushed way too quickly to the NHL. They got pushed too quick. They got to the NHL, and it was almost kind of just like, yeah, we believe you're ready. We'll get the Kraken pick here, and then up next is the Sabres.
Next up, Seattle. It's a big week for our next selector. His movie F1 is in theaters everywhere. I'm hoping at some point I can persuade him to make a hockey movie. But for now, please welcome Jerry Bruckheimer to make the next selection.
Hello, LA. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a thrill to be a part of this fantastic draft. So our selection is from the Brantford Bulldogs, Jake O'Brien.
Another center.
As you just heard there from the TV coverage, another center, Jake O'Brien from Brantford of the OHL. So Seattle has made their selection, and now, Brayton, the Sabres are up.
Yes, they are, and they've got some interesting names that they can pick with. First off, Jake O'Brien, 6'2", 170 pounds, can fill into his frame a little bit more, but the stats don't lie. 98 points in 66 games for Jake O'Brien. Played on a line with one of the best scorers in the Ontario Hockey League this year. I'm trying to remember his name here. Man, he's a Chicago Blackhawks prospect. I apologize, I don't have that off the top of my head. But just a really good overall playmaker on the ice. He controls the puck very well. He's more so known as a passer, but he can certainly score and put the puck in the net just as good as anybody else. Skating's not his strong suit, but if he can round that out, fill in his frame a little bit more, he's still a very good two-way style of player down the middle. Seattle gets themselves a pretty nice prospect here that they can develop and have for the future down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Central Scouting has, you know, their rankings, and there's obviously other experts that follow the draft that has their rankings. Brayton's, you know, he's doing his ranking. So collectively together can kind of figure out, like, where do these guys fit? And this is around where O'Brien had been going, at least in terms of rankings, not necessarily exactly to Seattle, but kind of in this low single-digit area.
Yeah, so yeah. He was playing with the Brantford Bulldogs last year, and his one line mate was Nick Lardis, and he's a Chicago Blackhawks prospect who this year put up 71 goals. Not bad.
That's not bad at all.
Not bad to be playing with a guy like that. And also from that team of note this year was Sabres' seventh-round goaltender prospect from last year, Ryerson Leanders, as well. So,
interesting.
Another notable player that his teammates there. But
that's right. All right. So we will obviously stay with us right here. The Sabres making their selection in just a moment. Officially, their 3 minutes has not started yet because they are taking Jake O'Brien, the pick to Seattle at 8, into the uncomfortable draft house, they're calling it. I think that's what they're calling it, the draft house.
The fun house? The
fun house.
The draft fun
where
house?
Where they talk to...
Ooh, Jason Bottrell.
Yes. GM, Jason Bottrell, that's right, of the Seattle Kraken. So that's what's happening right now, but Buffalo is officially on the clock. Okay, let's talk about here. Could there be a trade? My prediction is no. I know Kevin Adams, for now 2 years in his pre-draft press conference, has essentially said, I'm open to trading, and I'm looking to do so. He even said this year more so than any other one.
Yep.
Last year we thought it was going to be moved. If I'm Kevin Adams and I have the ability to make a trade here at this pick, because again, I'll say it over and over again, I would feel fortunate to still be the general manager of an NHL team going on year six after not making the playoffs once in my previous five seasons. So while there may be a player that you like a lot, while there may be a player here that you feel like can be very valuable to your organization at some point, he's not going to be on the ice impacting your team making the playoffs this year. And if this team does not make the playoffs this year, I'm not the GM next year. At least that's what I would think logic would say.
Yeah, whether it's wrong or right, Adams and Co. should probably be operating with
Lindy
Ruff never
has,
see
by the
these
way,
guys. He has one more year left
right.
on his contract. So that's why I'm going him and Co.
If Lindy has a vote, he's sitting here saying,
you should be operating with the, this is it.
Right. Lindy's thinking, I'm not going to be coaching this guy when he gets to the NHL. I might be retired or
what
in a different spot, maybe. You know,
I've been leading, not the charge, because a lot of us have been doing, but like Dan the Torpedo's kind of off season for these guys, where it's just, you guys may never have another opportunity in any NHL front office with any sort of serious leg room here. This might be it.
Right.
Put something on your resume that you can go to another job to if you are fired and go, hey, we did this. I mean, look how much room Kekalainen is getting with Sabres fans because he was able to get Johnny Gaudreau to go there.
Yeah.
You know, there is something to that. It's not going to be great, but the stuff with the pick swap with Pittsburgh, I know that was a bit of a rumor with Ryan Rust.
Yeah.
I don't know how I necessarily would feel about that, but you know what? At least it's something. At least it shows that, we're not just here for prospects. We know we need to win this year. And I don't think this team is that far off. I think they need to be better on the blue line and better in net. And that was going into the offseason. Now, I think they need two top six forwards. But
you say better on the blue line. Is there a scenario where Byram is still a part of this team?
Yeah, I think there's absolutely a scenario that he's a part of the team. I think that they could absolutely go. I think by this time next week, I think we'll kind of know if that's a thing or not.
Yeah. Yeah, because this is the time. And you would think if there's going – I mean, you would think in every GM's case, not just Kevin Adams, you need to know where you're going to spend your money in free agency.
Yeah.
So if you know you have Byram or you know you're moving Byram, well, that is going to leave a hole, and you're going to have to maybe spend your money there. If you take Byram and turn him into a forward as a part of a trade, well, okay, now I can adjust maybe where I have to spend my money, or vice versa. If you end up having to keep Byram because you don't get any trade that you feel is worth value, well, I got to spend my money on forward now because I just traded away J.J. Paterka and I haven't filled the spot with anybody. And I've got I can't just, again, hope, well, Jack Quinn, we gave you a raise. We need you to now score 27 goals in J.J. Paterka's spot and just hope that it happens.
We haven't really talked about that, but, I mean, also $3.3 million in 2 years. I mean,
it's more than I thought he was going to get.
I think it's more than a lot of people thought he was going to get. And so, I mean, it's just one of those things. Hope is not a plan. Quinn, before the two lower body injuries, you felt great about him.
Yeah.
And the potential being a 30-35-plus goal scorer. I'd argue if he never gets hurt, Paterka may not be gone because of how that line would operate even without Cousins. But now we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, just think two seasons ago here, just when the Sabres made that late run and missed by a point, how fun and how, just like the thoughts that I had of what we at the time called the kid line, Cousins, Paterka, and Quinn, of just thinking like, hey, this – the second line for the Sabres is set, And I'm thinking, they could be set for the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how likable were those three? And how much fun is Cousins? And boy, Dylan Cousins fits the role of what every Saber fan wants.
I've talked about it
He's
a lot.
He's got talent. Yeah. He plays gritty. He's willing to dive in for, you know, like, he did everything. He was so likable. And you had these skilled players and Paterka and Quinn on his wing. It was just, it was beautiful. And they're all essentially the same age and coming up together. You know, it would have obviously worked out, but it did not. All right, so the Sabres pick is in. Let's head to L.A. with Commissioner Gary Bettman.
Making the selection for the Sabres are members of the Goo Goo Dolls, a band that got its start in Buffalo. They've been nominated for Grammys four times, and tonight, Goo Goo Dolls members Johnny Resnick and Robbie Tacak are on the record with the 9th pick.
All right, with the 9th overall selection in the 2025 NHL Draft, the Buffalo Sabres are proud to select from the Seattle Thunderbirds, Radim Mertka.
Yeah! Yeah!
This is the kind of guy they need. They've been
all right, Radim Mertka, the defenseman from WHL, Seattle, and going to the Buffalo Sabres. Brayden, you had, what, him going one pick in front of the Sabres, right?
Yes.
Yep, so right around where you thought it would happen here.
Yes.
We're going to hear from, we're going to try to at least jump into this draft house conversation in a minute, but go ahead. Yes.
So before we do that, this was the guy that if he was there for the Sabres, I didn't disclose this in my article, but he was the one that I was just like, if he's there for the Sabres, you take him. Yeah. You take him because 6'6", 218-pound defenseman from Czechia. He's just one of those defensemen who, for his size, skates really, really well. He's got incredibly long reach. He's not a super offensive guy, but he's more so known for his two-way capabilities. Yeah. And started his year over in Czechia, played professionally, I think played like 10 games, and then all of a sudden makes the jump to Seattle, plays really well with the Seattle Thunderbirds in the Ontario Hockey League. 43 games, or Ontario, the Western Hockey League. 43 games played, 3 goals, 32 assists for 35 points. Can be a power play quarterback type of guy, but I think he's more so known for his two-way ability. Again, skates really well, long reach, and he's got the size and the strength to be able to be physical. We'll just see now where his development path takes him. And, you know, I think he's the type of defenseman, though, that Sabres fans can really get behind and love here going forward.
Okay, does this affect what Zach and I were just talking about? Does this in any way, in your opinion, change where Bo Byram suits up next year?
I think he's still going to get traded. I don't know who, I don't know where, I don't know what the return's going to be. I like Bowen Byram. I wish he would stay here, but he wants to go be a number one defenseman somewhere. He wants to be a top two defenseman somewhere. If that's what he wants, then I don't think the Sabres should shut him out from that opportunity. I know that he would make the team better, but I think, you know, you should let him get that chance.
Yeah. All right, so Radim Mertka, the pick, the defenseman, big defenseman, 6'6". We are going to go to the draft house here, and I see Terry Pegula, Lindy Ruff, Kevin Adams. Looks like
nice
they're all here, so let's go ahead and pick that conversation up.
Welcome to the Buffalo Sabres. We're thrilled to have you, and I'm here with the head coach, Lindy Ruff, owner, Terry Pegula, and assistant general manager, Gary Ford, and we're excited to have you on board. Welcome.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate it.
When you look at this guy, the long reach and the big body defenseman that he is, what do you think he can bring to your blue line in the future?
Well, you see a 6'6", mobile, two-way defenseman, good puck skills. These guys are hard to find, and we tracked him closely all year and just loved the progression he made from the beginning of the season through the end and just see a huge upside with this guy.
And we've got the Goo Goo Dolls in the house here as well. You guys have been such a big part of this organization as supporters for a long time. How exciting is this for you to help usher in the next generation of Buffalo Sabres?
Yeah. Welcome to Buffalo, my brother.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. Lots of watch the food.
Watch the food. There you go. That's all you need to know. Congratulations. Yeah. Enjoy this moment.
All right, so there it is, Kevin Adams with a little breakdown of the pick, and we'll talk about maybe what it does mean for Bo Byram and for what it means for the Sabres organization. So no trade, right? No surprise.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. I, again, I like Radim Mirka. He was one of the first guys I got the chance to kind of break down and watch his game and everything like that when I started doing all of these prospect profiles that I have on my computer, and really, really liked what I saw from him and thought in my mind that he's the type of defenseman that right shot guy, big size, good reach. He can play physical. He doesn't have the strongest shot, but he's not really a guy that is going to be a goal scorer or anything like that. You definitely want him to strengthen up, build up his shot a little bit more. But man, he's the type of guy that if he hits for the Sabres, he's going to be beloved by many.
All right. Then we'll see again. Does that affect any of the current Sabres defensemen here along the way? All right. Paul Hamilton is in Orchard Park. He's going to be connecting to what they hope will be a Zoom call with the new Sabre. So if that gets connected like we're hoping to, then we'll have that live for you as well here. But let's take a timeout here as we get to the bottom of the hour at 8:30. Our continuing coverage of the NHL draft on WGR, brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. And by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years, shop the family of finer foods. With Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones, Evan DePasquale producing, Paul Hamilton in Orchard Park, I'm Brian Colziel. More NHL draft coverage, more reaction to the Sabres draft pick when we return after this on WGR. The time. Welcome back here. Our NHL draft coverage continuing. Brian Colziel, Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones. We'll be heading out to Orchard Park shortly. The Zoom call with the Sabres top pick here at number 9, Radim Mirka, a big defenseman out of the Czech Republic, but also, of course, playing in the WHL right now with Seattle. And Brayton, when I say big, he's big. He's going to be even bigger on skates.
Big. 6'6", 218 pounds. Again, he was one of the first prospects that I got the chance to watch when I started, you know, figuring out all of these prospects and who might be of interest. And he was one of the guys right off the bat that perked my interest right away, just because of his size, the ability to be a physical presence, the way he skates from the blue line really good. He's got good edge work where he can maneuver around. He could be a power play quarterback. He's a guy that just really does move around well for his size. He's got incredible reach, which allows him to defend well, which allows him to defend, protect the puck when he's got it on his stick in the offensive zone. He's willing to engage in battles. He's willing to just be defensively structured well, be contributing offensively if possible. Again, he's not exactly the sexiest offensive player defensively. However, he's a guy that I think a lot of players are going to fall in love with if he develops right, if he develops well, obviously, because we've all learned that it's one thing to love a prospect and to love how they look and their draft year. And then from there, it's all about how they develop and whether or not they get developed properly. And that's the biggest thing for the Sabres going forward, is they need to develop their guys the right way, because we see it. They come in, they look they're ready, and then, you know, they're not ready. And they look it. They look out of place at the NHL level. So, you know, but I'm already getting flack on Twitter about people that are just like, it's a terrible pick. I don't know why they did it. And it's like, he's fine. He's good.
Yeah.
I like the pick.
More on a pick in a moment, but there was one during the break from Anaheim, and you had this one.
Yes, it did.
Roger McQueen goes to the Ducks at 10. Pittsburgh is now up on the clock.
Yeah, Pittsburgh with back-to-back picks. They got their own pick at number 11, and then at number 12, they got the pick that they got from the New York Rangers, which technically was from the Vancouver Canucks, because it was part of Marcus Pettersson trade earlier this season, and the New York Rangers originally held that rights. Mm-hmm. So it was whether or not it was a conditional pick, because it was either it was protected, draft lottery protected, and part of the condition was that the Rangers had to decide whether they were going to give the Penguins this year's pick or next year's draft pick. And next year's draft is supposed to be one of the deeper draft class since maybe 2015, when Jack Eichel, Connor McDavid, Mitch Marner, all of those guys were part of that draft class. The 2026 draft class could be just like that.
All right. So Sabres, as of this moment, unless something crazy happens, likely done for the night, unless somehow there's some sort of trade that works them back in.
Yeah.
I would think, if anything, though, Brayton, as we mentioned before, Kevin Adams likely maybe not trading current players for picks to get back into his draft because, as we mentioned, he's looking for capital right now.
Right.
Now, could Bo Byram, all of a sudden, a phone call is made and somebody offers you a number one pick for him? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe that's the only thing I could see possibly happening that would somehow paint a scenario where the Sabres actually maybe pick again tonight before the end of round one.
I'm not banking on it.
I agree.
I think
it's very unlikely.
I really like Bowen Byram personally.
Yep.
I know that the stats and like the analytics show that away from Rasmus Dahlin, he's been not great, but Lindy Ruff loves him. Lindy Ruff loves the type of defenseman he is, the guy that can be a really good skating defenseman that could go end-to-end and be really solid at both ends of the ice. He's a guy that can jump onto a power play if needed, say if Owen Power or Rasmus Dahlin are injured or they're struggling. Bowen Byram was immediately the guy where it was just like, all right, jump onto the power play and go. And, you know, he was physical. He was a guy that defended all right for the style of play that he is. But again, if he wants to go be that number one, number two defenseman on a team that needs that type of defenseman right there, then by all means, why not just let him get that opportunity? I mean, yeah, you. I don't know what the value is going to be. I don't know if a team's going to be willing to give up a first-round pick. I don't think Kevin Adams is interested in a first-round pick. He's probably interested in trying to find that player that's going to replace J.J. Paterka in the lineup. That's probably where I'm thinking that trade is going to land them. If they're able to get that similar type of player J.J. Paterka was, that can be a better fit, then great. But I don't know who it is that's going to be. I don't know what team's going to be really interested. I know that there was something that said like up to 8 teams were interested in Bowen Byram, but wow. To steal a Kevin Adams quote, it takes 2 to tango.
Yes, it does. And obviously the Sabres found a partner in Utah for the J.J. Paterka trade. We'll see if there's more upcoming before we get to the start of free agency next week, which is obviously kind of another holiday on the NHL calendar. Brayton, they do not waste any time. It's the longest season in sports already, but literally less than a week ago, they were still playing Stanley Cup games.
Yeah.
And now we're at draft, and now we're at free agency, and literally in September, they're going to be having training camp again.
Yeah.
It is a long, long, long season.
It is a long season. I'm very much one that wants to get the season started by mid-September. I mean, there are other leagues in the hockey world that start early to mid-September and are done middle of May.
Yeah.
That's what the NHL should be. Now, if there is a league that's even worse than the NHL, it's the American Hockey League. The American Hockey League just crowned their champion a few days ago, and the Penguins are making their selection here. Evan, do we want to bring that up real quick?
Yep. Let's go to the commissioner in L.A.
Welcome one of Pittsburgh's all-time greats, Chris Letang, and his son, Alex.
Good evening, LA. It's pretty special. Never had a chance to be drafted, so I guess the Penguins sent me here to announce it, and it's a great experience for my son. So without further ado, the Pittsburgh Penguins are proud to select
from the Calgary Hitmen,
Benjamin
Kindle.
Another center.
All right, Benjamin Kindle, a center from the WHL Calgary. What do you see here? Brayton, you said wow while we were off mic here. So does that mean this was early in your opinion?
Yeah, a little early for me. I think I had Kindle going 27 to Washington in my mock draft, but he goes 16 picks earlier to the Penguins. Listen, he's a fun playmaker. Let's not get that wrong. He's a really good playmaker. Sees the ice really well. Makes some good decisions. And is very creative. Does not have the top speed that maybe some teams would admire. I thought the Penguins would definitely want to get someone who's a little faster to be able to play with a guy like Sidney Crosby because Crosby can play fast. He thinks the fast game really fast. Kindle's responsible in his own end. He's got a decent shot, but he's a bit smaller. He's a bit smaller at 5'10", 180 pounds. He's a right shot guy, plays mostly on the wing. He's just not as strong as physical. I'm surprised he went this high, but he's still a first-round talent. I mean, obviously. But
right.
Again, you get to this point in the draft, at least in my books, where after the 10th pick, it can go really in any direction. And here's prime example number one.
Yeah, Pittsburgh will pick again here in just the next few moments. They'll let Benjamin Kindle get his moment here at pick 11, and then the Penguins will go again at pick 12. Following Pittsburgh at 12, then it goes to Detroit at pick 13, and then Columbus and Vancouver through 14 and 15. We've got to go all the way to 32 tonight. That's finishing up with the Calgary Flames. That, of course, used to be the pick from the Florida Panthers.
Yep, part of the Matthew Tkachuk trade, which that seems like it happened years ago, like eons ago, the Matthew Tkachuk trade.
I saw somebody tweet this week. Who was it that reported that Matthew Tkachuk was a part of an offered trade for Jack Eichel? Remember when the Sabres were trading? I don't know if was that Kevin Weeks or was that somebody else? I don't know. Somebody, remember, said that that was an offer that was there for Eichel from Calgary. Who knows how that would have turned out if Matthew Tkachuk was a part of a package that came back to Buffalo for Jack Eichel. That would have been
fun.
Juicy.
It would have been really interesting for sure.
Yeah, I agree. So again, we're expecting to get the Zoom from Radim Mirka, the Sabres first round draft pick, the big 6'6 defenseman here at any moment, as soon as they connect down in Orchard Park.
Elliot Friedman's tweeting out Penguins are moving down from pick number 12. So they got this pick from the Rangers and they're trading out of it. They're moving down in the draft order. We're just awaiting the details in terms of what's happening there.
Okay. So Pittsburgh coming up with another pick, followed by Columbus and Vancouver here. The Sabres, as of this moment, done for the night, but who knows? Pittsburgh just is trading this pick, so who knows if there's any action here with Buffalo. If the Sabres don't make any moves, their next selection will be in the second round, 39th overall, so that would essentially be number 7 tomorrow. The Sharks will lead off round 2 tomorrow, Chicago, Nashville, Philly, Washington, Seattle, and then it will be the Buffalo Sabres. So as of this moment, unless Kevin Adams does something different, it will be pick 39 next for Buffalo. And don't forget, tomorrow we're going to continue our coverage. We're going to roll in another new team here on WGR, and we'll have coverage starting at 11 a.m. All the way through the rest of the draft. We'll keep it here for what the trade announcement may be here.
Philadelphia is moving up the board.
Okay.
They're trading picks 22 and 31 to move up to number 12. That's at least from Elliot Friedman.
Okay. So two first round picks
to move up to
this spot.
Yeah. A little higher.
All right.
Very, very interesting.
All right. So Philly on the clock. So we'll take a timeout here, Evan. Let's take our timeout. When we come back, we'll see what Philly does. We'll see what Detroit does. And again, the Zoom call coming up with the new Saber draft pick, Radim Mirka. Big defenseman, Czech Republic. Actually, we're gonna get another pick here. Hold on. All right, so Evan, let's pull it down. Let's go to the commissioner in LA.
Alex, why don't you show everybody?
Oh. We have a trade alert button that was pressed.
Well
done. Okay, here's the details.
Penguins trade pick number 12 in the 2025 NHL draft to the Philadelphia Flyers in exchange for picks 22 and 31 also in the 2025 NHL draft. So it's 12 for 22 and 31. Philadelphia, you're now on the clock.
All right, so there's the official announcement, and we had it before, but now it's official from the commissioner. Okay, now we'll take a break, and again, when we come back, we'll see what Philly does with pick 12 as they move up from 22 and 31 to get into this spot. Brian Colesiel, Brayton Williams, Zach Jones, Paul Hamilton out in Orchard Park. We'll be back with more of our continuing NHL draft coverage live here on WGR. Is the time. We welcome you back here. NHL draft coverage on WGR. Brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. All right. Well, during the break, we got another pick in Philadelphia, who moved up to pick 12 with a trade with Pittsburgh, selecting center Jack Nisbet, Windsor player from the OHL, And Brayton, I know you thought Nisbet would have gone a little bit later, almost
a little
jokingly to the point that you said maybe they could have stayed at 22 and gotten this
player.
They probably could have.
The big thing about Jack Nisbet is he's 6'4", 183 pounds. He put up 64 points in 65 games this year, 25 goals, 39 assists. Just, he's a guy that plays really well below the hash marks. That's kind of where his bread and butter is. He'll go to the net. He'll make really nice tip plays. He's not afraid to crash the net with his size. He knows that he can get there and he can overpower most of the players that he gets there. He's also a pretty good two-way guy. He's relied upon to play in the defensive zone, like in the penalty kill and key situations there. There's questions, though, about whether or not he can actually get himself to a spot where he can be more of a dynamic piece in a roster. That's the biggest question that surrounds him. So, I thought he would have fallen a little bit later. They probably still could have ended up with him at 22, but it's not a bad pick, I guess.
Yeah. All right, so we are a dozen picks in. Is there one player that you can maybe say you are surprised that hasn't been taken yet?
I would say probably.
And you could say even no, like that it's fallen.
I mean,
kind of to two. And I know maybe you thought Nisbet would have gone.
I mean, since later, 11, the last two picks have been kind of just like, whoa, wait, that's weird. Right. How did that happen? How did that guy not get selected? Victor Eklund is my next best player available right now.
Okay.
He, obviously, the younger brother of William Eklund, who was drafted by the San Jose Sharks and is one of the Sharks forwards right now. I call him the Energizer Bunny just because despite him being only like 5'11", I think 5'11", 161 pounds, he is just always on the go. He's got a really good knack for wherever the puck is going to be. He's tenacious. He kind of reminds me in a way of Zach Benson with how tenacious he is with the puck. He is very aggressive on the forecheck. He's always in battling, winning battles. He's probably one of the fastest and best skaters in this draft, but I don't know. Size, I don't know. To me, I think size is overvalued at the NHL level. I think if you're still good enough, if you still got the physical capabilities and you're competitive enough, that you should be seen as a top prospect. And Victor Eklund, for me, is one of my favorite prospects in this entire draft class, and for him to fall out of the top, not even be picked by Pittsburgh or Philadelphia there, it's a bit surprising. I absolutely wouldn't be surprised if Detroit gets him here, though. Steve Yzerman loves those Swedes. He loves the Swedes, and Victor Eklund would very much fit that bill.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see when Eklund goes here shortly. The Red Wings are now on at pick 13. Columbus will have 14, Vancouver 15. And, obviously, if there's any sort of trade movement, then that will change up the order. Again, if you're just joining us here, the Sabres at pick 9, staying home, not making any moves, taking Radim Mertka, big defenseman, 6'6", defenseman out of the Czech Republic. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take on the pick coming up here shortly. They're going to have a live Zoom call with him just hopefully any second now. So we'll take you there live if it happens here in the next few minutes so we can get some reaction to Mertka being taken by the Buffalo Sabres. And then, of course, we'll have live coverage going on here all throughout round one. Tomorrow, we'll pick it up again at 11 a.m. as they go rounds 2 through 7 tomorrow. But not a ton of action. Probably the biggest news of the day was the Noah Dobson trade between Montreal and the New York Islanders, and the Canadiens making a very, very bold move. Of course, the Sabres doing some sort of that as well. Maybe not to the level of the player of Dobson, but with trading J.J. Paterka very, very late on Wednesday night. Many of you may be waking up to the news of the trade on Thursday morning as Paterka is now a member of the Utah Mammoth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to think that as I say it now. It's not the Utah Hockey Club anymore. It's the Utah Mammoth.
All right. I don't want to go on a rant here, but I just I'm seeing a lot of reaction on social media still of the fact that the Sabres didn't trade the 9th pick. I'll put it this way. Actually, no, let's not. I won't get into that. Gary Bettman's coming up here with the Red Wings pick. Might as well get that.
Here's Detroit coming up. Let's see what they have.
Making the selection for Detroit is one of the Red Wings' biggest fans, Dave Coulier. Is well known for his role on Full House, but has been in the fight of his life battling non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. We are happy to report that as of late March, he was declared cancer-free, and he joins us from Detroit. Dave, great to see you.
Hey, thank you. I'm excited. I wish I was there with you, but I'm here live in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena, and I am so honored to be chosen by the Detroit Red Wings organization to announce their 2025 NHL draft pick here on ESPN. I go way back with the Red Wings. When I was a kid, my dad and I would go to the old Olympia Stadium to watch Gordie Howe and the Red Wings play, and we were always proud Red Wings fans. Many years later, of course, I would wear my Red Wings jersey on my TV show, Full House. Well, this year we have the 13th pick, and we've had some incredible players wear number 13 for the Red Wings, most notably the magician, Pavel Datsyuk. So let's hope that the number 13 brings us some great luck this season. Now, let's get down to business, and the Oscar goes to, with the 13th pick in the 2025 NHL draft, the Detroit Red Wings are proud to select Carter Bear from the Everett Silvertips.
Carter Bear, left wing. What do you think there, Brayton?
Nice player down the middle of the ice. He's not by any means a big guy, another smaller guy, but he just does everything right down the middle of the ice. He's 6 foot, 176 pounds. He put up 82 points in 56 games for Everett in the Western Hockey League. 40 of those were goals. The big thing about Carter Bear recently was he tore his Achilles. So big Achilles injury, similar to Peyton Krebs when he was in his draft year. Tore his Achilles late in his draft year. It was still went 19th overall to the Vegas Golden Knights. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously he eventually comes to Buffalo. But the thing about Bear is he's super tenacious. Like, he's a guy that, despite the smaller frame, he's not afraid to go wherever the puck is. He's very much a guy that's going to put the nose to the grindstone. And the thing about him that I think is similar to like a Zach Benson is, you know, he's kind of a guy that's not afraid to get under people's skin as well and really irritate some players. And it's exactly what a player like him is exactly what Detroit will love, is just the fact that he's skilled enough where he can, you know, find a way to put the puck in the net below the hash marks, but he's also aggressive. He's also got that little bit of a you-know-what attitude to him, and it works very well in his favor.
Brayton Wilson giving us great analysis with all the draft picks here throughout the night. You can check out his mock draft at WGR550.com. And Zach Jones getting up some information on the Sabre selection of Radim Mertka. You can also check that out, WGR550.com. Paul Hamilton's take coming up here as soon as we get to the Zoom call. Again, we're expecting that to be happening at any moment from down in Orchard Park. All right, it's almost 9 o'clock here. 2 hours in the books here of our coverage of the NHL draft. We'll step aside, get back at it here. Hour three, Evan DePasquale producing. Paul Hamilton's out in Orchard Park. Here in the studio, Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening here to our NHL draft coverage, round one on WGR.